enjoy it while it lasts. Gambling gods, fickle bunch.
Oh, yeah.
So easily offended. Here comes the money. Here we go.
Money talks. Here comes the money. The Weekend Wager with Anita Marks starts now.
What's up? What's up? It is Weekend Wager here on 98.7 ESPN. Anita Marks with you. Brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Enough talk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports. And we are just, what are we? By the way, we've got Brian and Jacob who are producing the show back in New York. I'm in my home studio. What do we got? Like, we're a day and how many hours away? Are we counting? Are we counting the minutes? Are we counting the seconds to Super Bowl, guys?
I mean, if we treat it like Christmas, technically it's right here. It's literally tomorrow then, if we treat it like that.
It feels like it, right? You know, a lot of people are not just NFL fans, but analysts are saying that this is one of the best Super Bowls of all time. You've got, you know, obviously so many storylines here, and I've been talking about this game for over a week now, so bear with me. But probably the biggest storyline is, you know, you've got arguably the greatest of all time in Tom Brady going up against arguably, which could be at the end of his career, the greatest of all time. I mean, let's marinate in this for a minute, that Tom Brady at his age, you know, early 40s. And he said that, you know, he wants to play until he feels he can play until he's 50. Okay. I mean, listen, if I knew that avocado ice cream could do that for you, I would have started eating avocado ice cream 10 years ago. And then you've got Patrick Mahomes, who very well, and I'm picking, I mean, listen, let's just go to the last chapter of this book. I'm picking the Kansas City Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. Kansas City -3, that's the line right now. Over under, I'm taking the over in this game. Kansas City over 30 points. Like, I think I had Trey Wingo on my digital show earlier tonight on the mark, and you know, he made an excellent point, and that is, like, there's been games this season that the Kansas City Chiefs they just toy with people. They just toy with, you know, at some point in time, it gets boring winning so much. So the Kansas City Chiefs were like, they won games with their C game. They won games with their C game. This is the Super Bowl. Kansas City's A game trumps any A game that the Tampa Bay Bucks can bring to the table. And I'm going to make this statement, and I know folks listening are going to be like, oh, Anita hates Tom Brady. And I had this conversation with a friend of mine tonight during dinner. And hate is such a strong word. There's very few things in life that I hate. What annoys me as a sports commentator, and that is when we talk about the greatest, quote unquote, the greatest of all time, when you refer to that in regard to team sports. Because if you go back and you look at the history of Tom Brady's career, and why do we say that he's the GOAT? We say he's the GOAT because of the number of playoffs that he's been to, the number of Super Bowls that he's been to, and the number of Super Bowls that he's won. But if you do a deep dive and analysis in regard to his success, a lot of it has to do with the fact that, A, he's played in the AFC East, which every single year against the Miami Dolphins, the Jets, and the Buffalo Bills, with all due respect to Jets fans, have stunk. So chances are, every single year, the Patriots are going to get into the postseason. And then once they get into the postseason, it's a clean slate. It's a new day. They typically have home field advantage because they have such a great record, because they've destroyed everybody in their division. I mean, I could go on for hours. And then when you go back and you look at the Super Bowls and you look at what's happened in those Super Bowls and teams that, you know, offensively called the wrong plays, i.e. the Seattle Seahawks and the Atlanta Falcons, or Super Bowls that the Patriots won because of defense. Eventually somebody's going to do a deep dive into this. Because I will say this, if the Tampa Bay Bucks win, and again, I had this conversation with a friend of mine at dinner tonight, I will not watch sports or listen to sports talk radio for at least 2 weeks because I can't fathom another GOAT conversation for an entire week. Because how have the Tampa Bay Bucks gotten to this point? They allowed over 375 total yards to a third string quarterback in the Washington Redskins. Well, I shouldn't say Redskins. They're no longer. The Washington team. And oh, by the way, that quarterback had a bum shoulder for a good quarter and a half. Needed four turnovers from the New Orleans Saints. Three interceptions, along with a fumble from Jared Cook to get past the Saints. And then they beat the Green Bay Packers in spite of Tom Brady because he threw three interceptions in the second half alone and still beat the Green Bay Packers. So here's the conversation. This is what the conversation led to, and that is a part of me is like, so I am all in on the Kansas City Chiefs, right? All in. I am all in on the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City by three. In fact, my final score is 34-23. Kansas City, 34-23. But there's a part of me that believes and feels that how the Tampa Bay Bucks have gotten here, that they are somewhat this team of destiny. And they were meant to be here. And Tom Brady is meant to win this game and is meant to win another Super Bowl. I know it sounds crazy. There are people in life that believe in that, you know, so for example, there are people in life that believe in the supernatural. There's people in life who believe in ghosts. There's people who believe in destiny and the supernatural and all those funky things. Well, that's me. So logic tells me that Kansas City should win this game. Kansas City is the better team. Kansas City has toyed with teams this season and has still won. Kansas City should destroy the Tampa Bay Bucks. But just the mere fact that that the Tampa Bay Bucks are where they are right now and how they got there, beyond the Tom Brady is the greatest human being ever in the history of the world narrative that we've had to listen to for a week now, is concerning to me because I believe in those things. I believe in, how do I phrase it? I believe in that destiny thing, that team of destiny, that special unique season for an individual or a team. But I'm still going to lay my money down on Kansas City -3. And again, my final score, and by the way, you can wager on that, Kansas City 34, 16-1. The Tampa Bay Bucks 23, 16-1. That is my final score. But I am so intrigued by this game. And this game very well could be one of the best Super Bowls we will witness and we will watch for a number of reasons. 800-919-3776. I see the phone lines are lighting up. I do want to take your calls. I do want to talk to you about this matchup. We've got a great show lined up for you. Cynthia Freeland is going to be joining us at 10:30. So I'm excited to get her on. We'll get her Super Bowl picks and her plays. David Berman is going to be joining us at 11 o'clock. We'll talk Super Bowl. Where is the money flow going? Of course, we're hearing, if of course you've been following any of it, a large portion of the money flow, the public money, is on Kansas City. That scares me a little bit as well. And we'll get into some golf. If you do watch Daily Wager, I picked Schauffele to win this tournament this weekend. And sure enough, he's at the top of the leaderboard. So that makes me very happy. And Tyler Fulgham, who is my partner in crime and works with me on Daily Wager, is going to join us at 11:30 with his Super Bowl picks, his prop bets, as well as we'll get into some Knicks. They're taking on Portland tomorrow, which, by the way, you'll be able to listen to right here on 98.7 ESPN. That pregame show starts at 12:30.
It's a great question. I think about that quite a bit, actually. Being grateful for, you know, all the blessings in my life, and I've got, you know, more than anyone could imagine. So in the end, I just try to do the best I could do, you know, with every situation. And you understand there's a lot of people that have supported me over the time to get to this point. So I think any time you get a chance to realize your dreams, and I've been, you know, between high school, college, pro football, doing this for almost 30 years. Just so appreciative of all the different people who have helped me along the way. Just so grateful for all the experiences that I had. And hopefully that, you know, I can, in my own way, give back as best I can to, you know, other people who may be looking to achieve and accomplish their dreams too.
Anita Marks with you. This is Week in Wagery on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Enough talk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports. Okay, so in the break, we've got two producers back in the studio, Brian and Jacob. And Brian says in my ear, Anita, come on. You hate Tom Brady. I don't hate Tom Brady. I don't hate Tom Brady.
You hate the discussion of him being the GOAT. You just can't.
I do. That's what I. That's what, let me preface.
I still got my point though. But you keep going. Go ahead.
Yes, but let me preface. Listen, is Tom Brady a top five quarterback in the NFL? For sure. Mm-hmm. I will so put Tom Brady in my top five.
Right.
But to say that he's the greatest of all time, no. I can't. And if the Bucks win on Sunday, it's going to be a week of that. Brian, you know me. I will not watch. I cannot, and I will not watch any sports television commentating. I can't.
Yeah, Greeny will be the first one, whoever it is. He is a GOAT.
I can't.
Zubin will probably say,
I can't.
He is a GOAT.
Because,
he's a GOAT.
You know what? Because mark my words, people. If the Tampa Bay Bucks win this, it's going to be because of their defense. It's going to be because of the defense and Todd Bowles, who Jets fans were so eager to run out of town.
And look how successful that, he is now.
That is why the Bucks will win. Mm-hmm. But we will sit here and we will, instead of spending time talking about the defense, we will sit here and, oh, by the way, nobody on the defense is going to get the MVP award. I guarantee you, Bucks win, Brady's going to get the MVP award.
Of course.
Even if he only has 55% completion percentage, even if he tosses two interceptions.
I was about to say that, even if he has the two
interceptions. He's still going to get the MVP when the defense, I'm telling you right now.
Because Anita, he's the GOAT, so he got to go.
I'm sorry. That was me hurling my dinner.
You love the sound of his voice. You can't wait until the Super Bowl when he gets
sacked.
But
again, people have to understand. I have total respect for Tom Brady. I think he's a phenomenal quarterback. What the intangibles, what he has done for that Tampa Bay Bucks team. You know, and again, conversation I had with my friend at dinner tonight, and that is, you know, by him coming to that team, so understand, in this COVID pandemic environment, right? Like, teams that have done well are teams that have taken the pandemic seriously, right? And like, aren't going to dinner out in public places. you know, have a very small circle of people that they associate with. Like, if you are a player on the Tampa Bay Bucks and you know Tom Brady is on your roster and you know how serious he is and what his involvement in your team means, that you legitimately have an opportunity to win a Super Bowl, then you start taking life more seriously, right? Like that, and that's because of Tom Brady's presence. Like, there's so many intangibles, and I'm not taking away from that. What irritates me is when we talk about the great, like, for you to sit there and tell me that Tom Brady is a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers, I can't. Aaron Rodgers is hands down the best quarterback that has played in this league for the last 5 years. Hands down. Unfortunately, he's subject to playing in Green Bay. So, but again, you know, we appoint this and we ignite, you know, we use the phrase greatest of all time in team sports. I just don't, I don't believe in that. I don't, it's a team sport. I don't, individual sports, fine. Serena Williams, you know, Pete Sampras, Steffi Graf, Serena, Venus, individual sports? Yes. I get it. Team sports? No. Because I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen. Kansas City Chiefs win, it's going to be because of Patrick Mahomes. He's otherworldly. And the way that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to win is that they're going to score over 30 points. Again, I have them scoring 34. If the Tampa Bay Bucks win, it's because the Kansas City Chiefs weren't able to even score 24 points because of their defense. Because they got to Patrick Mahomes. Because they were able to hold them to under 30 points. Which, by the way, that's the over-under in regard to Kansas City point total. I've got the over right now. But if that happens, and regardless of what Tom Brady does, because understand something, Tom Brady has been pedestrian in the postseason. Pedestrian at best. But what has been the conversation? Greatest of all time. Here's the thing. It's fascinating to me. It's fascinating to the point where I get nauseous. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Dre. Dre in Fort Lee. Dre, welcome in.
Hi, Anita. How you doing?
Good evening.
So listen. He is the GOAT. I don't even know how you can't see that. But, you know, he's the GOAT. Look at his consistency alone. His consistency alone. And like you said, you know, that's the man you fear. He is the man you fear, just like on the opposite side of the ball. It's Patrick Mahomes. You fear Patrick Mahomes. So definitely if they win, he'll get the MVP. But I believe the Bucks will win. And, you know, I agree with you. I think it will be because of the defense and also Leonard Fournette. I think Leonard Fournette's going to play a big part in this game. But JPP is going to be a problem. Vita Vea and Dominican Sue. They're not going to be able to run the ball against Tampa.
They don't have to run the ball.
Yeah, you're right about that. You're right. But I just think they're going to, with the left tackle being out, the right tackle being out, I think they're going to get so much pressure on Mahomes. And I know the stat that's out there about you blitz Patrick Mahomes. I think
he'll kill you. You can't blitz him, Dre. You can't blitz him.
Yeah, I know that, but I think Tom Brady's going to do it. I really think he's going to do it. And, you know, that defense, their linebackers are going to be able to cover Travis Kelce. If Tyreek Hill is going to be the biggest problem because of what he did to them back in week 12. But I don't know. I'm rolling with the Bucks on this. I think, and, you know, Tampa, I think they've averaged 30 points per game the whole playoffs. So I think they'll win. 38-31. So I don't know. I just wanted to see what you thought about that, and you know, wish you the best. I hope you don't hurl when they start talking about it.
You definitely the GOAT. I mean, Aaron Rodgers. I can't. I'm done. Dre, I've had you on. That's it. Guys, cut him off. Cut him off. I can't. Dre, I gave you over a minute. I gave you over a minute. I can't.
I'm not sure how much you get caught up in that part of it as much as you do making sure that you have all the T's crossed and I's dotted. So, I mean, that's where you're at. If you get an extra minute, you watch a little bit more film. You make sure you're getting enough rest and eating the right things and so on. So, I mean, your mind is on things that are going to directly affect the game at this time. And you want to try to maximize that. And that's what he does. So I don't think he's probably thinking too much about the other part. I'm sure he loves the challenge of playing against Tampa Bay. They're a good football team. And Tom Brady's a friend of his. So, I mean, and somebody he looks up to. So I think that's kind of a neat deal for him. But I think when you really get down to what he's thinking about, and that's just making sure he's got the game plan down and ready to go.
No doubt, there you go. Man. That's right. Vibrant thing. That's Andy Reid talking about Mahomes and his legacy. Cynthia Freeland from the NFL Network joins us now on 98.7 ESPN. It is Weekend Wager brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Enough talk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports. Cynthia, what is up?
How are you, my dear friend? Happy Super Bowl week.
I know. I've been talking about this game. I don't even know what to do with myself. I'm delirious. I'm sure you as well. All right, let's get right into it. Kansas City -3. I was hoping that this line would drop to 2.5. I know that there's a lot of action, you know, a lot of public money heading towards the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't think this line is going to move. I think it's at 3. Take it at 3 if you want to try to buy it down. You could buy it down at like -138, -142. How are you playing this matchup, Cynthia?
You know, I think the interesting part about this is people underestimate how important O-lines are. And the fact that the Chiefs are missing Eric Fisher, like very confused at O-line other places, I think that could play a big factor in this one. So for me, I'm saying Chiefs win, but I think it's going to be a very close, super fun game, like as in 1 point.
Interesting, because I have it 34-23, which, by the way, you can bet on those exact. Yeah, I'm sassy tonight. Those you can bet on those exact numbers at 16-1, 34 points for the Kansas City Chiefs, 16-1, and 23 points for the Tampa Bay Bucks. You get that at 16-1. I love that. That's fun. I just, you know, and I've been talking about it for the first 30 minutes of the show. You know, I'm calling smoke and mirrors here. I just, you know, how did Tampa get here? They give up over 370 yards to, you know, a Washington team with a third string quarterback with a bum shoulder. They needed 4 turnovers from the Saints. Tom Brady, they beat the Green Bay Packers in spite of Tom Brady. 3 interceptions in the second half and some bogus calls offensively from the Green Bay Packers. And here we are. Like, where meanwhile, Kansas City is just kind of like have toyed with people all season long. Like, their record and how they're able to win is, you know, like with their C game. And you would, one would expect it's the Super Bowl. They're definitely going to bring their A game. I don't know, you know, and with all, you know, with all due respect, Cynthia, you know, I think the world of you. I think you're one of the smartest people I know. I think this has the potential of being a complete blowout.
Well, every game has the potential to be a complete blowout, but I think this one's going to be a little bit different. I think you and I both know Todd Bowles well. He's a great man. He's not going to let that single high look go again, right? Like, that was really how week 12 happened. Single high look, Tyreek Hill, he just, outside the numbers, just destroyed that secondary.
Yeah,
so
he did.
You and I both know, yeah. I mean, he had like 220 or so of his yards, of his like almost 250 yards outside the numbers in all 3 touchdowns. Like, that Carlton Davis matchup, that's not going to happen again, right? Like, just Todd Bowles, we both know that. So the only thing that I'm thinking here, and I do understand, like, look, like, I'm with you. I think that the Chiefs are the best team in the league. But remember, this game is, there's a lot that goes into this. It's been 2 weeks, and I know everyone's like, oh, Andy Reid coming off a bye, blah, 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 blah. It's a little different when it's the Super Bowl and it's Tom Brady. Tom Brady will get this team into shape. They have their whole O-line in check. It looks as though their defense is going to be significantly healthier than we've seen them in recent weeks. You know, Winfield Jr. is going to be playing, all of these things. That's really important. We saw what happened to Billy Turner. That's the left tackle that had to step in with David Bakhtiari not playing for the Packers. And look what JPP did to him. I mean, New Yorkers are very familiar with Jonathan Pierre-Paul. And those four pressures and two sacks and just wreaking havoc on Aaron Rodgers, like, that's going to be a problem. So, interestingly enough, I just think in this one, if the run game, and it sounds unsexy because there's so many great receivers, pass catchers in this game, you know, because obviously tight ends also count. The interesting part here is I think it's going to come down to who can run the ball a little bit more efficiently. And while I have the Chiefs was just being slightly better because of their depth, I do think it will become really close because both Rojo and Playoff Lenny have been really, really great. So that's kind of how it plays out for me.
Again, Cynthia Freeland joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. You can see her all over the NFL Network, and so make sure you do that. All right, so obviously, since you think this is going to be a one-point game, so then you're more Tampa plus three.
Yes, I think that's interesting, and I think it's going to be a higher-scoring game. A lot of people that I really respect think it's going to be, like, so I think right now, what, 56 is kind of where it's set? I think a lot of people think it's going to be lower than that.
No, I have think the it's over. Gonna be, it,
yeah, I think it's going to be a higher scoring game. I think we see, like, so I ran a bunch of, like, simulations to find a range, right? Because who wants one particular number when you can have a range? So the range, when I drew it out into the range of how many simulations go between 57 and 63, which is an interesting number, that came out with, like, the biggest. You know, they all do standard deviations. Remember in like high school when you were like, you're graded on a bell curve, right? So the median, like the middle 50% all gets whatever. That's where that fell between 57 and 63. That's the most likely final, like, total score.
Well, I have 34-23. So that's right up my alley. So if people wanted to play this as a tease, then would you recommend teasing Tampa up to plus nine and then teasing the over down? What is it right now? What do you have?
I see 56, but I think,
okay,
like,
so
I think
so teasing it down to 50.
Yes, that is beautiful.
So that's the way that Cynthia Freeland would play this, is a two-team tease the Tampa Bay Bucs to plus nine and tease the over down to over 50. Interesting. There are a plethora of prop bets that I am on. Let's talk about your top three. Give me your and let's save the best for last. So. Give me your top three. Let's start with one.
So where's your number for Gronk? Because with its Cameron Brate news, so that's interesting.
Oh, wait, I don't. What's the Cameron Brate news?
So he was on the injury report. So my sense is that
with what
I think people are underestimating. I didn't see what
okay.
the thing is.
Okay, all right, go ahead. While you speak, I will call it up. Go ahead.
So I saw something with Gronk at 29. What? Okay. Way more than that. So the interesting part about Gronk is if you look to see, Gronk only needs one reception to become the first player in NFL history to catch a pass in five different Super Bowls, which is super fun more than, like, anything else. But the interesting part about all of this is that when I'm looking at Gronk and his potential to impact this game, he had some deep receptions in the previous matchup, and that's kind of how I think he makes his hay. So 29 seems ridiculously low. I would say way more than that. Are you looking it up? Did you find it?
Something came up on Drew Brees' contract, and I was like, contract? He's going into the booth. What do you mean? All right, so ESPN's Adam Schefter is reporting that Cameron Brate is expected to play against the Chiefs, but but he's dealing with a back issue.
So that makes me say,
better today than yesterday. You there?
Yeah, over here. Better today than yesterday. Okay. Still, Target.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Target Gronk.
Because here's the thing. What we've been seeing is Gronk has stayed home to help pass protect. And now, granted, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs present a different scenario and a different situation because they get their pass rush from the interior line with Chris Jones and Frank Clark as opposed to the outside. But yet, at the same time, Spags, he does like to blitz his safeties and his corners from the outside. So that's kind of where I'm on the fence in regard to Gronk, is because we've seen Cameron Brate be utilized in the passing game as well. Okay.
Yeah.
So
I play a lot of
So number two. So Gronk is one. What's your second favorite prop bet?
So I think that, I mean, what are you seeing for numbers for Darrell Williams? How many rushing yards total yards?
You know what? It's so, you know what? I have not even looked, because I don't think Kansas City is going to run the football. I think the prop bets that I've been paying a lot of attention to is Kelce and Tyreek Hill in regards to the passing game. I also like Mecole Hardman. I've not really paid a lot of attention to Williams's prop bets.
Yeah, well, see, that's why I think, right? Like, zig when other people zag, Anita. You know what I'm saying? So I love it. I'm into both. Right? Very interesting, because obviously those two make a huge difference. But sometimes the ones that seem to come out of nowhere, those are the ones that help you out. So I think that Darrell Williams, I'm seeing a very low number for rushing yards for him. So for me, he ends up something like, you know, between 30, 40, that's kind of a good spot for him. So if you're seeing something lower than that, everybody loves to bet on fun. Who doesn't like someone to outperform expectations?
You know, it's funny. It's a conversation I have often where I get criticized that I'm always on the over. And as we know, unders hit more than overs. But I've said this before. It's a lot fun for me to root for people to do well than for people to do poorly.
Right. In the Super, you can get everything. So bet on overs. You know what I'm saying? Why not?
Yeah, that's what I do. That's what I do. Very interesting. All right. So Gronk, Williams, and we've saved the best for last, Cynthia Freeland. What's your favorite prop bet out there right now?
This one doesn't sound like fun now that we like built up these overs. dang it. So I think Patrick Mahomes is going to be somewhere in the like 314 range. So if you're seeing anything more than that, you're going to want to temper your expectations. His average for the season is like 307.7, and something like, you know, in the playoffs, he's under 300 yards is his playoff overall average. So I think that number is going to be lower than you think. And you know what? You talked about not running the football, right? Kansas City not running the football. I think maybe because their O-line is so banged up, you got to run right at pressure, right? So run at JPP. Run at Shaq Barrett. Don't let those guys come and get your man. Don't let them get your quarterback. You got to get those yards so that you can absolutely get just a little bit further, so it's third and manageable, not third and 12, right? So at the end of the day, I do think those like little tiny runs, even if they're not super efficient, obviously most people like to see 4 or 5 yards per clip. That's kind of their metric for efficiency. That is not going to be the thing. It's going to be, who cares if it's 3 yards? Okay, we're going to run a little bit to give Patrick just a little bit of relief so that he can do his whole scramble, run around, use all the crazy different angles that are accessible to him with his arm, and then pass the ball. But I do think that when you look to see how many passing yards, I think it's going to be under 326 is the number I saw.
I love it. I love it. You know, another stat, another prop bet that I really like is passing attempts. I think I think Patrick Mahomes tries to, I think I'm over in passing attempts for him. That's probably one of my favorite prop bets out there. Cynthia Freeland, you rock as always. So appreciate your time, especially at this hour. on a weekend night. I so appreciate you. What'd you say?
More fun. More fun at this hour. Come on.
It's like Footloose and Fancy Free, right? It's like not so, yeah, it's like, it's more like laid back at this hour.
Who doesn't love laid back?
Thank you, my friend. Enjoy Sunday. Really appreciate you. Again, everybody, make sure you you watch Cynthia Freeland, again, the NFL Network. I'm sure you will be on all day, I'm sure, leading up to Super Bowl Sunday. So I'm sure everybody will be tuning in. Cynthia, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Without further ado, David Berman joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. He oversees our chalk sites, all things gambling on ESPN and our Daily Wager show. David, hi. Good evening. How are you?
Good. How are you, Anita? The Super Bowl is here. Finally.
Tell me... Really? Don't you feel like we've been talking about it? We've been writing about it for 2 weeks now. Like Sunday can't get here fast enough. Don't you feel that way?
I feel like I haven't seen a football game in like 6 weeks. It's been like, all right, Ray, let's go. And everybody, I know that most of the media and everybody and the players, they all enjoyed the 2 weeks off. And I'm like, let's just play. Let's get this game. Let's go. The closer we get to the end of this season, the closer we can get to next season already. And you know, you and I are big Dolphin fans. We just want next season to come already.
So before we really dive into, you know, the X's and O's here, I'd like to promote our column that's on the ESPN Absolutely. Chalk site. So many people contributed to it. How many picks are in the column?
I actually, one of our producers from Daily Wager asked me the other day because they wanted to promote it on air. We have 77 picks in the column.
That's just ridiculous.
77 picks in the column. We have 9 picks on the game, 8 on the game, and 1 on the total. And then we have the other 69 props or some way, shape, or form, all on the field props. None of the coin toss or Gatorade. They're all featured in the column because we have nice illustrations in there at ESPN Chalk. We have 77 picks. Now, I said this to Doug the other day. There's only 2 of them are repeat picks, meaning two people are on the exact same side of one of the props 2 different times. So there's actually 75 different selections in that column to go bet. So you're going to bet them all 75? What do you think we go? We're going to go 40 and 35? Are we going to go 45 and 30? What do you think?
Oh, wow. This is more intriguing. Wait, but this is more intriguing to me. You're telling me that there was only one wager that had two of us on it?
If you take out the side in total, I think of the actual side, there were 8 picks and 7 of us, including you and me, are on Kansas City. But yeah, if you take that out and you look at the other 68, 69 picks, there's only two of them that people are on the exact same side. We don't have any opposites, but there's that many props. There's over 500 props, and we have.
Oh, I know it's ridiculous. So let me ask you this, because it's not just our column. You know, I spend a lot of time. You know, obviously, you know, we're in a pandemic. It's not like I'm going anywhere. But I spend a lot of time watching a variety of television, sports television. And I feel like 95% of the world is on Kansas City. Does that scare you at all, David?
Not really. And I know a lot of people do pay attention to that over the course of a regular week. We're talking about handicapping games with the public heavy on one side versus the other. But this is the Super Bowl, and you got to take a side. And you'll see it in the column in your analysis and my analysis. Like, Kansas City is the better football team. They've been the better football team, and they're going to be the better football team on the field. But anybody can win any game. Tampa's there for a reason. They got the goat at quarterback over there. Obviously, Brady can win it. He's won this 6 other times. I just think Kansas City has too much offensive firepower. And when Kansas City plays all 60 minutes, they don't lose. I mean, they only lost twice all year. And yes, there's a lot of times they didn't cover. We've talked about this every single week, how they were not a covering machine this year. They got bored. They got complacent. They had big leads. They let teams. And the perfect example is the last time Kansas City played Tampa, earlier in the year. Kansas City was kicking the crap out of them in the first half, left their foot off the gas, and Tampa crawled right back in the game. You don't do that to a team led by Tom Brady, and Tampa almost won it. Kansas City didn't cover, but they dominated the first half. They have the offensive firepower to dominate Tampa's secondary. So I still like Kansas City. Does it bother me that everybody agrees with us? A little bit, but there's a lot more people on Tampa than you think. The numbers aren't as widely distributed. But at the end of the day, you're going to go with the better team, and Kansas City is the better team.
All right, so let me ask you this, like in regard to weather. Now, Stephanie Abrams, part of the Weather Channel, is a very dear friend of mine. I've been texting with her. I've been asking her about the weather. And what she's telling me is that weather conditions are not going to be good during the day, but it should clear up and be fine at kickoff. Now, granted, meteorologists are typically more wrong than they are right. Even though Stephanie is a very dear friend of mine and I love her dearly and she's absolutely brilliant. But let's just say, hypothetically speaking, weather conditions are not great and this storm does not cooperate and it's rainy and miserable. You know, how much does that change? I mean, it changes a lot of my prop bets, that's for sure. You know, so... You know, tread, like, you know, no pun intended, tread lightly. Like, you know, how do you approach that, David?
Well, first of all, next time you see Stephanie, tell her I said hello. I went to school with Stephanie at Florida. I didn't know you.
Oh, my gosh. So many Florida Gator games I've watched with her in the city. She's a Gator.
I had no idea you knew her.
Yes. So do you know Dana?
I do know Dan. I don't know her well, but I do know her.
And do you know Allie?
Allie.
Attorney Allie.
No, that doesn't ring a bell. Maybe.
No, I'm sure. If you know Stephanie and Dana, you definitely know Allie. Anyway. Oh, yeah, this is funny. That's funny.
As props are concerned, I would think, in theory, if it's a wet track, which, you know, Stephanie says it's going to, you know, dry up. If it's wet, that probably works towards Tampa's advantage. It will slow the game down, as most rain does, and force teams to run the ball a little bit more. And Tampa does have the stronger running game. And I think that would help them out. But I also, if you look at the other side of things, I wouldn't want to be a corner or a safety trying to cover Tyreek Hill if it's wet out. I wouldn't want to be the guy trying to tackle Travis Kelce when it's wet out either. And Pat Mahomes has shown he can win in any conditions. I do think it would work to the advantage of a lot of the unders and the props and or the under in the game if it does get slowed down due to the rain. But I'm hoping, like everybody else is, that you know have a Super Bowl without rain. And, you know, us from Miami know that that's not always possible, as it did rain in the Chicago versus Indianapolis Super Bowl, which slowed the game down except for the opening kickoff. But it did rain in that game as well.
It sure did. I was there and I left early because it was raining. Before we let you go, let's talk about what's going on the PGA Tour. And we got the waste management that's taking place at the, which, by the way, this is a bucket list thing for me. I totally want to attend this golf tournament because it's an absolute party. And I understand that it's not a party right now because, again, we're in a pandemic and, what do they have, like 5,000 fans every day, right? Something like that.
Yeah, it's cut down a lot because of the pandemic. Yeah. It's a great course. I've actually played the course. I haven't been there during the event. I want to get there as well. So
I want to go there during an event.
It's also perfectly timed because it's February. You want to get the hell out of here in February. So let's go down there and watch some golf, and maybe we'll hit a bar up in Scottsdale and watch the Super Bowl.
Don't tease me with a good time, David. So let's, you know, I am going to toot my own horn here. In our column, I had Shoffley winning this damn thing. And sure enough, he's at the top of leaderboard right now. And I'll keep in mind, we still have two more days to go. But he is 12 under heading into the weekend. And you could get him to win at plus 138. I want to say pre-tournament, was he 11-1? I want to say his odds were, right? 11-1, something like that?
Yeah, he was slightly more than the favorites. But yeah, he was about 11, 12-1. And listen, he's playing well. He shot 7 under today, and that was one hell of a back nine. He had it, you know, shooting a 30 out there in the back nine. So he's obviously right there. It's good to see a guy like Steve Stricker and Keenan Bradley up there as well. Those are guys that have won before, but not in a long time. But one guy I'm keeping an eye on, and this isn't a bias by any stretch of the imagination, especially after the conversation we just had, but, you know, Mr. Gator, Billy Horschel's right there, and he's had a good couple of days, and I like the way he looks as well.
Yeah, so I'm looking Billy Horschel. I'm looking for his odds and his stats, and I can't find them, and I don't know why. Oh, here we go. 20-1 for Billy to win this tournament. Another guy that I liked, and I liked him coming in, but I didn't have him where he is right now, and that's Sam Burns. He's tied for fourth right now. I want to say I had him. And I'm trying to remember the column. I want to say I had him in the top 10. And but he's 10 under right now and he's tied for fourth. I felt like his game coming in, he was playing extremely well. A guy that I love, and I've said this in the column and I've said this on Daily Wager, I feel that he's going to be a golf ATM for people who bet on gambling. And that's Will Zalatoris. And I'm nicknaming him Willie Z. He's tied for 27th right now. He's 5 under. He was 5 under today. Shot a 71 on Thursday, a 66 today. And again, he's tied for 27th. But he's so special. Like, here's the thing. And when we handicap all these courses, right, we typically like, so, you know, there's certain guys out there that can hit the ball a mile. There's certain guys out there that have a great short game. There's certain guys out there that putt better on Bermuda or a different style of grass. Everybody has a certain quote unquote game in their bag. The thing with Zalatoris is that he checks all the boxes, David. He checks them. So mm-hmm. no matter what course he tees up on, He's got the distance. He's got the accuracy. He's got the short game. He's got the iron play. He's got a great putter. Like, he's just like, I feel like people who wager on golf can make a fortune with Willie Z this year. That's how I feel.
Are we talking about Willie Z or are we talking about like Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy? Man, you just gave this guy a really, really good vote of confidence. You really like this guy, and I did read.
I do. I love this guy. I love this guy. He's gonna be in the column every week. Just get used to it. Whether it's top 40, top 30, top 20, top 10, like I think this guy's gonna be an ATM machine this year.
Well, I promise you, I'll rejoin you. I had to take the week off from the column. We had way too much Super Bowl stuff for us to deal with this week, so I didn't make any picks in the column, but I did have some action because, of course, you're going to have it anyway. It just took me a lot longer than, you know, doing it on Tuesday. I have Webb Simpson in one of the pools, and after a really bad first round, he shot a nice 6-under today to get back in the mix. Obviously, he's probably too far back. And I did win a tournament contest with Max Homa, who didn't have a great day, but, you know, he faced long and long missed the cut. So it was good to see that. You mentioned Zalatoris at T27. Do you see some of the names around him? John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, who else we have? Adam Hadwin. There's some good names down there at T27, and you really like Will Zalatoris. Huh, interesting.
I do. I like him, and I like him all season long. I think he's definitely going to win a tournament this year. And I definitely feel confident that he's going to finish in the top 40, top 30, top 20, top 10, top 5 in a lot of tournaments. So,
what about your boy Hideki? He's there as well. He's struggling. We got to get him going a little bit.
He just, for whatever reason, he just can't find his putter. He can't, right? And what's the phrase, right?
Yeah,
you drive for show, you putt for dough. There you go. And he can't. He can never bring it. He can never. There's like no complete game with him. It's frustrating. Anyway, anyhoo-ha. David, appreciate you as always. Love having you on the program every Friday night. You're the best. I appreciate you. Again, everybody, make sure you log on to ESPN.com. Check out our column. You can find it on the Chalk site. And as David said, 70, how many bets? 77, you said?
77 different bets on there, as well as a prop scorecard. Feel free to print that out and bring it to your gathering of 10 people or less, 6 feet apart. But we have a props guide there. And as of this morning, we put Chris Berman, the Swami, had his Super Bowl pick. He has the Chiefs 30, the Bucks 20. It's on the site. Go read it. It was a lot of fun talking to him during the week. We had a couple of phone calls late at night to go over the column, and then I helped him write it, and then we put it out there this morning. It was a lot of fun working with him. Hadn't seen him in a while, obviously, with COVID not being in the office, but he enjoys being part of it, and his pick is there just like everybody else's.
So my final score is 34-23 Kansas City. What's your final score?
I have 38-27 Kansas City. And remember, not that I want to toot my own horn, but I will, that I picked the Chiefs to win 31-20 last year, which was the exact final score of the game. 31-20, and I had them minus 10.5 and to win between 7 and 12, all in the column, the chalk column last year, hoping for the repeat this year to nail the exact score and all the props along with it. I did take the same ones. I took them minus 10.5 as well as 7 to 12. So hoping that 11-point win happens again after nailing it last year, which pretty much paid for the rest of my my gambling for the rest of the summer.
You go with your bad self. David, thank you so much. Always great to have you on. Appreciate you, my friend. Enjoy the Super Bowl.
Have fun, Anita. Bye.
You got it. You got it. In the meantime, let's go out to our calls. Let's go to Chris in Long Island. Chris, welcome in.
Hey, Anita, how are you?
Hi, good evening.
There's a huge fan. We're not going to get into tonight how, you know, I listen to you and Canty usually on game day. You know, I'm a Jets fan. You normally a little giant homer, but let's go past that. As a Jets fan, how is Tom Brady not the GOAT? You say it's a team sport, but he's been to 10 Super Bowls. That's 10 different teams he's
okay.
been with.
All right, let's do this, Chris. Okay, are we in agreement that the AFC East has been the worst competitive division in the NFL for over a decade? Like, let's be honest.
100%. Okay. He gets the first round.
Okay, there you go. So this proves my first point. If you talk to any head coach or any general manager in the NFL, they will tell you the secret to success is you need to build a team that is set to beat its division opponents. Why? All you have to do is beat your division and you get into the postseason. Once you're in the postseason, it's a clean slate. And oh, by the way, if you destroy your opponents, let me finish, Chris. I'm going to give you your chance. If you go 2-0 against all three of your opponents, and let's say you win 50% of your games, chances are not only are you going to be hosting one playoff game, you're going to be hosting two. Chances are. So right off the bat, right there, Chris, that says a lot. Do you really think that Tom Brady would be going to 10 Super Bowls if he played in the AFC North or the NFC South, Chris? Honestly.
Okay, fair enough. No, I agree. The AFC East, he's beating up on us. That's why I'm saying as a Jets fan, I'm biased. I'm glad he's out of the division. But his first year with Tampa, he was a wild card, and he made the Super Bowl. But not only that, though, like you said, though, just get to the playoffs. How many times has Rodgers gone to the playoffs? I don't have those numbers in front of me, but a lot, and he can't make it.
Have you paid attention to what has but Chris, let's and you want to use this playoff series as an example? Have you did you watch the game against Washington?
No, I did. They were outplayed, but they won, right? I mean, but in the Super Bowl against Seattle, they should have lost that too. But if you give it to Marshall,
exactly. You know exactly. I mean? So, Chris, now you just said, okay, Washington outplayed Tampa, but Tampa still won. Okay, and let's just we'll shelf the four turnovers against the Saints, and let's not even dive into what happened with the Green Bay Packers. But you just mentioned the Seattle Seahawks. If the Seattle Seahawks. If they would have just handed the ball to Marshawn Lynch, are we in agreement, Chris, that they would have scored? Are we in agreement?
They lose it. The Tuck rule, they don't get there with the Raiders. I get it.
Okay.
Get it.
Okay. I mean, Chris, you're helping me pull. You're helping me prove my point here, Chris.
But your point is, I get your point though. But Aaron Rodgers has made the playoffs almost every year.
But obviously the chips did not fall. I think Tom Brady is the luckiest man on earth. I think he's the luckiest.
So your argument, he sold his soul? He sold his soul? That's what he did? No, the guy's phenomenal.
Again, Chris, understand something. I am not saying that Tom Brady is a bad quarterback. I just said I will rank him in my top five. I think Tom Brady is a top five quarterback. Tom Brady to me is a top five quarterback. Chris, why isn't anyone talking about the fact that they cheated? And I'm not talking about inflating stupid football.
About it.
So Chris, can we marinate in that for a minute? That we talk about him being the greatest of all time, but we neglect to talk about how they cheated in regard to not and inflating footballs is just, that's stupid to me. All quarterbacks, massage their footballs with, like, I'm not talking about that, but like.
Is that Belichick or is that Brady?
It doesn't matter. He benefited from it, Chris. He benefited from it.
But you get the same.
But no one talks about. Nobody talks a week now. A week, and thank you for your phone call, Chris. A week now, leading up to this game on Sunday. The GOAT this, the GOAT that, not once. And I listen to I'm on Fox, I'm on ESPN, I watch everything. Not once did anyone mention the cheating. Not once. Dude, destroyed his cell phone over stupid inflated footballs. And I'm not even talking about that. it's gotten to the point where it's comical to me. It's comical. The Bucks win. I don't even know what I'm going to do because I can't watch political television because it brings me down. So I don't know. I'll go volunteer somewhere. I don't know. I'll go do something. I'll anybody needs volunteer to administer vaccines. That's me. I'll go volunteer somewhere. I'll do something like that because I don't know what I'm going to do for a week. I definitely can't listen to sports talk radio or watch sports television if that's the case.
This is The Weekend Wager with Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.